Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Did everybody have a nice Christmas as well? Good. Good to see everybody. You know, I was happy to see, went around quite, tried to greet most people, and I had a lot of smiles today. What do you think the new year has? Hope. Well, we're going to talk about that this morning, not hope in general, but in general, yes. But we're going to look at interruptions, you know. There was an amazing interruption. In fact, it was the greatest interruption of all. Well, do you have a plan for the new year? I talked to somebody, said, yeah, they had one. They hoped it was better than last year. God sometimes interrupts our plans for His plans. The Bible makes it clear that following Jesus is not an easy road. Anybody know that? Just ask some missionaries. That following Him means you will have divine interruptions in your life. And this morning we're going to look at that, this greatest interruption. In fact, it was the interruption that saved the world. You know, this world's in bad shape. And I tell you, we have a God that can make it all right. Aren't you glad? Well, a snowstorm interrupted this message. That's how this started. And we didn't get to have it. So you know what? As I prayed about it, it's like the Lord told me, well, we had the interruption. Now you can talk about it. Joseph doesn't get a lot of attention in the Christmas story, but I want us to look at him this morning, to look deeper into this amazing story of how salvation came to earth. If those of you can, you stand with me. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and beginning in verse 18, we're going to read God's word together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do you know this is the only human this happened to? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And I want to say that, what the prophet said. He said, behold, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You can be seated. God bless his word today. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about this passage. There's been a lot of churches that have split over this passage. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Do you believe God can do that? My God is able to do anything. Well, let's pray. Father, this morning, Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts in a very special way. Many are here that are looking to a new year. We're all looking to a new year. But Lord, we want to have your plan in our life this year. Lord, I pray for New Harvest Baptist Church. I know you have a plan for them. And I pray this year, Lord, will be the greatest year of this church ever. I pray that 2026 will be a year that you will receive all the glory from this church. And you will just rain down your grace, your mercy, and your love, and the power of the Holy Spirit in these people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, look at verse 18, if you would. It says, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Problem. We've heard this story so many times, maybe for many years. And we go, that's a nice little story. And Mary was found with child. Well, that's nice. This is a divine interruption. It's not just a nice little story about a baby. And I want you to listen this morning. Listen, I hope you'll listen and try to see what God has for you this morning here in this message. Get found with child. Not a child of the Holy Spirit. I pray this passage will really grip your heart this morning. There are three things that I want to give you this morning. I want you to see this. First of all, God's plan for your life has adventure. Did you know that? It's not a boring life. The Christian life is not a boring life. Life is not dull. When you come to Jesus Christ and you give your life to Him, and Joseph proves that right here. See, the problem is that you have been to many Christmas programs and plays, and you already know the story. And there's Joseph, and there's Mary, and the wise men, and baby Jesus. Ho-hum. Every one of the people in the Christmas story, when they put themselves in God's hands, they don't realize what an adventure, what divine interruptions will come their way. A life given over to Jesus Christ, the abundant life of John chapter 10, verse 10, is a life of risk. It's a life of faith. It's a life of adventure. And there will be many divine interruptions because of the baby Jesus who grew up, who always was. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. You know that Satan has a plan for your life? A plan to steal, to destroy, a plan to ruin your life. His interpretations may look good for a while, but they end up in destruction and devastation and hurt and pain. That little baby that came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago came to give you life, to quicken your soul that was dead in trespasses and sin, a life of adventure led by God's Holy Spirit, a life that Jesus promised. A life where you would not be alone. That baby became a man of sorrows that went to the cross for you. And when you repent of your sins and trust in Him and to rescue your soul, God's Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart and you'll never be alone again. Were you lonely last night? God wants to interrupt you. Your life this morning. And this message that the angel of the Lord brought Joseph, that shocking interruption in his life, look at verse 20. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She's a virgin. God's plan not only has adventure, but God's plan has adversity. Things don't always go the way you want them to go. Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, read it like this for the first time here, like you've never heard it before, not that you've heard over and over before. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary for thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. The angel comes. Joseph, son of David. Why did he say that? Why did he say son of David? Because no one demonstrates to us more what it's like to have your plans interrupted than David as a boy. He's a shepherd boy. Out in the fields, he was told that he was going to be a king. All his brothers lined up to be the king. What did they do? They came out in the fields to find David, the youngest, the smallest. And all these things had happened to David before he became king. David's life as a shepherd was interrupted because God chose him to be king. Jesus interrupted my life. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus has interrupted your life. And the Holy Spirit of God wooed you, invited you to the cross. It was a divine interruption. Just like Joseph, you had to make a choice. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yes or no? There's a choice. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, maybe you're visiting with us this morning, God wants to interrupt your life. He's not calling you to a little baby in a manger, but this morning he's calling you to the cross of Christ. And when he calls you to the cross, he's calling you to adversity. That baby became a man, and he was all man by his mother, Mary, and he was all God by his father, the blessed Holy Spirit. And he lived a perfect life, became a perfect sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. Some of you here this morning have your own plans for 2026. Sharon and I were talking this week. We were so astounded about the year 2000. We were remembering, we were not going to make it to the year 2000. I mean, it's Y2K and the world's going to blow up. You have your own plans. And sometimes, maybe some of you here this morning, you really haven't included Christ in your plans this year. He's just a little baby in a manger to you. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way. That's free will. But the Lord directeth his steps. That's God's sovereignty. Aren't you glad that when we finally give in, he takes over? Man, thank the Lord. But you know, it's a day by day, moment by moment, surrendering. In Proverbs 16:25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. This morning, you may want your plan for this year. It may seem right to you. And if it doesn't include Jesus Christ, the end thereof is death. Where did God interrupt your plans? Was it when you lost a small child? Was it when your spouse said, I can't stand this marriage anymore, and they walked out the door? Was your life interrupted when the boss told you that we're cutting back and your job has been eliminated? God steps in, and God is drawing you even today. And God says, I've got a plan for your life this year. God is sovereign. And you said, no thanks, I don't think I like your plan. That's free will. You can say no to God. Did you know that? It's not a good thing to do. We have heard the story of Joseph so many times that it has become just a nice little Christmas story. And God didn't interrupt us to call us to a nice little Christmas story. God is here to say to us that us that live in a fallen world full of sin, death, and disaster, I didn't call you to live alone. I didn't call you to do this Christian life alone. He said to Joseph in verse 23, which Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 concerning the prophecy of the Messiah and the virgin birth of Christ. And it says, they shall call his name Emmanuel. Interpret, God is with us. Now, I don't like adversity. I don't think you do either. I'm sure you don't, but I tell you, I don't want you to go through this alone. There's going to be adversity. And I want someone to talk with me. And I want you to, when you're crying in bed at night and your spouse doesn't even hear you, but I want to tell you, God hears you. God cares. And as proof of that, he sent his only begotten son for you. It all began that first Christmas. Have you ever thought about all the interruptions in the Bible? They all had a purpose. Maybe you haven't thought of the reason for your interruptions in your life. Maybe you haven't figured it out yet. This is not heaven down here. God is going to prepare a new heaven and a new earth. And as believers in Christ, we don't live for the now, the present. We truly live for the future. This is not our home. We live life of adventure, and the Apostle Paul said, I hath not heard, neither had ear or heart entered into anybody's heart, neither has it entered into the ears of man, the glorious things that God has prepared for them that love him. We have so much to look forward to as God's children. All you have to do is study the Bible, and you'll see that God has interrupted over and over again the schemes of men, the spirit of men, the darkness of men. God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Whatever you're thinking about this morning, his thoughts of you are higher. He wants you to become his child. If you're here this morning and you've never really ever given your life to Christ, he wants to change that in your life. He wants you to open up your heart this morning. Emmanuel has come to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. He gave the greatest gift, his only son. I want you to think about those that have had their lives interrupted in this Bible. So I'll start with Noah. We're going to be here a while. Not really. I'm going to move right along. God said that, hey, Noah, here's a man who lived in the middle of a desert. What did he tell Noah? I want you to build a ship. What? It's going to take 120 years, Noah. And it hasn't rained yet. That's one interruption. Noah, he was made fun of and mocked for 120 years. Could you go through that? How about Abraham? 75 years old. Time to retire. God says, I'm going to call you to a brand new place that you've never been. And it's going to take a lot of faith, Abe. Why? So I can start the Messiah's seed through you. Emmanuel will come from your seed, Abraham. Well, what about Joseph? Not this one, but the one, you know, that the brothers, you know, didn't like his coat. They put him into slavery in Genesis. What a trauma. Thrown in a pit, sold as a slave to Egypt. Why? So he could be used by God to save the Messiah's seed from starvation. You know the story? God knows everything. His interruptions all have a purpose. What about Moses on the backside of the desert? The flaming bush interrupts his life. Why? Because I want you to lead my people out of slavery into the promised land, Moses. So the Messiah could be born. What about Job? What an interruption. His interruption cost him everything, his health, his family, his possessions. He couldn't make sense out of any of it. It was because Satan challenged God, saying, the only reason they worship you is because you buy their favor. You're too good to them. You're so good to them, they have no other choice but to follow you. Job had no idea that he was the test case. What about Jesus Christ, the King of glory, interrupted in the glories of heaven so he could come to earth as a baby, Emmanuel, God with us, so he could be mocked, so he could be beaten, so he could be spat upon, so he could be laughed at, so he could be nailed to a cross for you and me. Why? So he could cancel hell for you and create a new heaven for us. What about Paul? He surrendered to that divine interruption on the Damascus Road so the gospel could be preached not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, you and me. You know, many of you here are saved. I'm so thankful for that. You're part of the family of God. Because Paul was willing to go through the interruption that he had, the interruptions he had, so you could hear the gospel message, the clarity of the Word of God from Paul through the Holy Spirit, the story of the little baby that came to save us from our sins. What if Noah didn't do boats? What if Abraham said, I don't do trips. I'm not going anywhere. What if Moses would have said, I don't do people. I don't like people. What if Job would have said, I don't do pain? What if Jesus Christ would have said, I don't do crosses? What if Paul would have said, I don't do Gentiles? And what if Joseph here in this Christmas story would have said, I have plans of my own. Go ahead. Stoner. He had every right, according to what the law said. Do you really understand the gravity of this interruption here in Matthew? Mary, let's say, is 16 years old. It doesn't say how old Joseph is, but we know he's older. We don't know how much. And they're betrothed. They're going to get married. Let me tell you something, in Bible times, there was nothing worse that you could do than getting pregnant during a betrothal period. Nothing worse than having a child during a betrothal period. And to make things worse, she had gone off to her cousin Elizabeth's house to tell her about this divine interruption. Poor old Joseph is left there by himself. Can you see this? This is a small town. He's thinking, what am I going to do? What can I do? While he's agonizing over the situation, God intervenes in his plans. What about Mary's plans? What about the adversity of Joseph? By the way, he's the only guy in town that knows that he is not the father of this child. Just think about it. His reputation was destroyed. You try to explain that your fiancée is pregnant. He says, oh, it's not me, God did it. Oh, right. Tell me another one. I want you to think about Joseph. He was a businessman. He was a carpenter. He had a shop. He did a lot of work for this small town. All these people, they knew. He was the guy, go-to guy. How many people do you think wanted to put his sign up in their yard after this happened? He had to struggle. He had to face the reality. He's most likely the only one that knows at this point that he had nothing to do with her pregnancy. God brought adversity into his life. He had two options. Look at verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, he was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He had two options according to the Word of God then, the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 22:13 and Numbers chapter 5, they would bring her before witnesses, and if they found evidence, they would stone her with stones in the city square. Or he could privately divorce her. He would bring those witnesses to his home, and he would write a letter of divorcement. That was the two options he had. What is so important here is that it says he is a righteous man, a just man, and he imitates the character of God. Joseph wasn't the average Joe. You know that. You read this story. What would the average Joe do? He does that which is correct, that which is right. Righteousness is not strictness. It is doing what God would have you to do. Righteousness is not the outward appearance of holiness. Righteousness is not piety. Righteousness is powerful. It's not cowardly. It's compelling. It's wanting to be a Psalm 1 type of man. Man that wants to reflect the passion of God. Do you know what blessings, what blesses my heart here today about Joseph? It's not that he didn't divorce her. Look at verse 19 again. It is that he didn't want to make her a public example. A righteous man, a righteous woman, will not think about their hurt or their pain. They're more concerned about the very people that hurt them. That's a righteous man, more than themselves. Friends, that's the love of God. Joseph was a man of God. Many think Mary has betrayed the deepest loyalty a man can have. His name has been drugged through the streets. Many and most men would have put her down in an instant. I'll disgrace her. I'll make a public example of her. I'll put the blame on her, not Joseph. You know why? Joseph is a man of character. Because when he walks through adversity, he still wants his life to reflect the character of God. Let me ask you a question, a New Year's question. Are you more concerned about the person that injures you, or are you more concerned about your rights? That's a tough question. Let me ask you, when you get interrupted, is your first thought, I wonder how God would respond? Is that your first thought? The last point here. God's plan has adventure to it. His plan has adversity. But the last point is, God's plan has advantages. You want to be on God's side? There's some advantages. The advantage in verse 23, look at it. When you surrender your life to Christ, Matthew 1:23. Says something like this: a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. As a child of God, we will never spend another night alone. He will be there. The Lord Jesus will be there. Emmanuel said his name means God with us. Aren't you glad tonight, no matter what happens in your life, that you could shut your eyes and Emmanuel will be right there with you, in your heart, in your thoughts. God knows and sees all those salty tears that you shed. And the Bible says he puts them in a bottle. Psalm 56 and verse 8 says, are they not all in my book? God is calling today, this new year, he's calling you to his plan, not your plan. And God's plan is full of blessing. Look at what God began to reveal to Joseph in verse 20. Look at verse 20. While he thought on these things, what things? He was ready to publicly accuse her, or he was going to privately divorce her. And the angel said in verse 20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it great when God gives you the answer to the problem? Joseph says something like this. That's what I wanted to do all along. I love Mary. She's the love of my life. I love her. Jesus said in Matthew 5:38, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye. When someone wrongs you, give hate for hate. But I say unto you, if someone hits you on the face, turn the other cheek. If they take your shirt, give them your coat as well. God has a new plan for you this year. A better plan. Matthew 5, verse 44 says this. Why don't you just love your enemies? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Your plan. My plan is anger, bitterness, divorce, striking back, suing. So when Emmanuel comes to live in you, and you get his plan, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, then last, you get his perspective. You get God's perspective. Do you want God's perspective in 2026? Do you really? I'm not talking about the world, what the world would do. Not talking about your neighbors, what they would do. I'm talking this morning about God's plan for your life. What you're going to do this year. The angel said to Joseph, this is not a disaster. This is God's design. It's not about you, Joseph. When you begin to see through the eyes of Jesus, feel the heart of Jesus, have the mind of Christ, his perspective, everything changes. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, Joseph, this plan, this story is not about you and Mary. No, Joseph, this morning I'm talking about people. I'm thinking about people. I'm not just thinking about now. I'm thinking about later on. I'm thinking about Delaware. I'm thinking about Kent County, Delaware. I'm thinking about Dover, Delaware. I'm thinking about New Harvest Baptist Church on January the 4th, 2026, church. I'm thinking about people that have never met me. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about this church can bring people into this church and maybe another church. How's that going? I hope it's going good. Another church. And fill it up with people that need Jesus. Amen? And hear the word of God. Please stand. Musicians, you've come. Daphne, we've got that song, number 635. And it says, another year is dawning. I looked at that song this week. It says, another year is dawning. Dear Father, another year with Thee. Another year of praise, another year of mercy, another year of Thy presence. another year leaning on thy breast. Is that where you want to be this year? Isaiah talks about God will put us in his bosom when things get rough. Is that where you want to be this year? In the bosom of Jesus? That's where I want to be. This altar's open. We're going to sing. Come, Dot, lead us. I'll be here. If there's someone here this morning who doesn't know the Lord, I'd love to talk to you.